I want to say that it's a real privilege. It's a special pleasure to introduce our speaker today, because I know from personal experience, and I think a lot of the activists here today know from your own personal experience, that along about, I don't know, somewhere in the 1960s, 70s, political parties began to emerge in a lot of conversations as, for lack of a better term, part of the problem and not part of the reform solution. Now, you know, I like to think of myself as a reformer. I think a lot of people here do. But I also really appreciate the role that political parties play. In fact, just last week, I was in a conversation with an individual who was talking about being an independent voter. And I asked him, I said, okay, so you're independent. That's great to hear. Independence sounds great, you know, 4th of July. I said, so who do you vote for? Well, I vote for the person. I said, okay, that's terrific. And when are you voting? Well, November, unless I vote a little bit early. I said, so the name is where? On the ballot. Okay. And is that name like on the independent line? I said, no. I said, so you're voting for a Republican or for a Yeah. Okay, so now, if you've got a party over here called the Democratic Party, and you got one over here called the Republican Party, and they go through all kinds of machinations in the primary to come up with a candidate to offer you in November, as do the Democrats over here to come up with a candidate to offer you in November, aren't you dependent upon the Democrats and the Republicans? And this, my friends, is why in the state of Connecticut, statutorily, there are no independent voters. In Connecticut, happens to be the state of my birth, such people are referred to as unaffiliated. Unaffiliated. Because they're entirely dependent on the work of the Democratic Party over here or the Republican Party over here. And there is a lot of work. Everybody here who's ever run for office or helped a candidate, please raise your hand. We all know it takes a lot to get somebody onto the ballot. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, there is a lot of effort that goes into providing the voters that choice in November. And Lord knows, as a Republican in Illinois, sometimes it's tough to stand up statewide. Sometimes it's tough to stand up in the city, and sometimes, as our speaker and chairman of the Illinois Republican Party knows, sometimes it's tough to stand up in a county context here in Cook County and say, I am a Republican. But that takes determination. And I think we're going to hear today from the gentleman who foresaw the victory of Governor Rauner, as Jay was recounting. We're going to hear today about the results or the activities of the 2016 political year. So I need you to join me in a big, rousing City Club welcome for our speaker, the Illinois Republican Chairman, Tim Schneider. Tim, come on up.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. With leave, I'd like to take a moment of personal privilege and express my sadness for the loss of Paul Green. I knew Paul 30 years ago. Paul Green, when I was a township official, Paul Green was a staple at all the township events. He was there for everything. He had the greatest wit and the most charming wisdom of anybody that I knew in that circuit. And I will really miss his ramblings between Chris and Paul up here on the stage. And he will be sorely missed. Also, someone who's left our midst, yesterday we mourned the loss at our county board meeting of Commissioner Joan Murphy. Joan and I wrangled a lot. We didn't get along very often. We were on opposite sides of the fence most of the time. But I'll tell you that in one particular case, when I was just a newly elected commissioner, we fought really hard on an issue, and of course it was 13-4 Democrat over Republican at the county board at the time. So they won. And after the meeting, Joan comes up to me and she says, "Where are we going?" And I go, "What do you mean, where are we going?" She goes, "Where are we going for lunch?" And that's the way Joan was. She didn't care. And when the board meeting was over, the politics ended, and we went about our own way. You know, we could disagree without being disagreeable. And I think we need to go back in that direction a lot more in today's society. So with that being said, those two great people are gone from our midst, and we must move on. I want to tell you a little bit about my history, and some of you heard a few of these things about me in the past. You know, they say to people say they don't care what you know until they know how much you care. And I started out watching my father be extorted by Cook County building inspectors at our business. We had a 9-hole golf course out in unincorporated Cook County, and every time a Cook County building inspector would come out, now my father was a staff sergeant in the Marine Corps in the Pacific, and he would be extorted for $25 or $50 by the building inspectors, or else he'd have to call my mom up. I remember, hey, mama, she called her mama, can you make some lunch for these guys, you know? And so my mom would have to hurry, make some lunch, and bring it down to the golf course, which was, the house was right next to the golf course, and make these guys lunch. Now, my dad and mom were people that got up at 6 in the morning and worked till usually midnight every day, 8 or 9 months a year, and here they are catering to these guys so they won't write an egregious, you know, building inspection violation, which was really nonsense to begin with. So I saw that. And then when I was 26 years old, I general contracted my first house. And it was in unincorporated Cook County. And I took my 6 plats of survey, my 4 sets of plans, my plumbing isometrics, my electrical drawings, took them all down to the county, laid them on the counter, and the advisor for the building department said, "Come on, lay all these out. I'll be back when you get them all rolled out, laid on the table." He went back behind his cubicle. He didn't come out for an hour to look at my plans. Then he found something wrong with my plans, and he sent me on my way. Came back the next time. I had them all laid out on the counter, laid out all 24 sets of different plans. He's standing down there about 15 feet away. He said, "What are you doing down there? Roll all those up. Bring them down here and unroll them in front of me." And all he had to do was walk 6 steps down to where I was. I said, this kind of thing has to end. And then I went over to the township. And something that really bothers me a lot is the fact that government employees or government elected officials seem to think that they're above the people they serve. And so we had a township clerk in Hanover Township that really looked down on people. She said, "What can I help you?" You know? And that's the way she was every time I would go in there. So I said, "Well, I'm going to run for township trustee." So I ran for township trustee. I won. And lo and behold, the next election, she decided not to run for re-election. Subsequent to that, I decided to step up. Well, in between the time that and running for the county board, I ran for highway commissioner in Hanover Township because I found out the highway commissioner was putting township gas in his own car. So I said, "That's wrong." He said, "I'll just keep doing this all I want." And so subsequently, I beat him. And a couple years later, I ran for the Cook County Board. And the story I don't tell too many people, but I was successful in being elected to the Cook County Board. But a year after I was elected to the Cook County Board, one of the department heads from the county took me to lunch. He took me to lunch. I'm going, "I wonder why he wants to take me to lunch." He told me that if I would support Todd Stroger's 1% sales tax increase, that I would not have any trouble getting reelected the next term. And he said that I will also give you some jobs if you'd like some jobs, and I might find some contracts for some of your friends. And I said, "Well, that's not why I ran for this job. I ran for this to just completely eliminate exactly what you're telling me you want to do." And so I got up and I left. Now, stories like this are not unique to me. I'm sure most of you, elected officials or not, have had some type of unsavory experience with government, either from working inside the government like I do or outside and working with government. But I tell you, it's just wrong. It's just wrong. Government exists to serve the people. It's not for the insiders and the politicians to be enriched working from the inside. And that's what's happening too often in our state and our nation today. That's why I think people are so outraged with our government today. Is our nation stronger, safer, more economically well off than it was 10 years ago? Is our state stronger, safer, more economically well off than it was a decade ago? I don't think so. So today, that's what I'm here to talk to you about. Ronald Reagan often said, the status quo is Latin for the mess we're in. I think we can agree the status quo really isn't working here in Illinois. It isn't working in our nation as well. Our national debt is approaching $20 trillion. Our federal deficit each year is $500 billion. There's poor job growth numbers, incomes are stagnant, and our enemies are inching ever closer to our borders. So let's talk about our presidential election just for a little bit here this morning. Now, I know that most of you have probably already made your minds up, and I'm not going to try and change your minds, but the choice is pretty clear for me. I'm going to warn you, I'm going to start getting a little bit partisan, and I'm not here to offend anybody, but it's probably part of what I'm supposed to do. First of all, Donald Trump. Donald Trump, he can be rude. He can be rude. He can be off base on some things, say things we might not agree upon. But he's not beholden to anybody. He's created thousands of jobs. He wants to secure our borders. He wants to protect our national defense and bring jobs back to America. On the other hand, you have a person that calls all of us that are Trump supporters in the room deplorable. We're xenophobic. We're Islamophobic. We're racist. Or if we're not any of those things, we're just a bunch of sad sacks who are duped by this idea of making America great again. I'm pretty sure that I don't fall into either one of those baskets, and I'm sure if there's any Trump supporters in the room, you don't feel like you fall into that basket either. I believe that Hillary Clinton did wrong with Whitewater. I think she was wrong in Benghazi. I think she was wrong with the Iran nuclear deal. I think she was wrong with her email scandal. And all the while, she amassed a $200 million fortune. $200 million fortune. She never sold a widget. She never made anything. All I think she did to amass that fortune is sell influence. So to me, it's an easy choice. I choose rude over wrong. Right, Richard? And now briefly about our United States Senate seat. You know, Mark Kirk is an inspiration to me every day. He's a strong advocate for Illinois. He's been a warrior for good government and a strong national defense. Now, I spend just about all my time downstate defending what most people in this room want, and that's somebody who compromises, who gets along with both sides of the aisle, who can be bipartisan and work for compromise. But when I go down to southern Illinois, trust me, there's usually a line from here to the door when I speak of people who say they can't vote for Mark Kirk. I said, you can't vote for Mark Kirk? Why can't you vote for Mark Kirk? Well, he's not Republican enough. But you say you want compromise. You say you want people that work with the other side. Well, I just can't vote for him. I said, do you agree with Mark Kirk 80% of the time? Well, yeah. Well, that doesn't make him a 20% traitor. You know, when I go to Washington, I talk to, I make most of these comments to Republican groups, but I was in Washington a couple months ago, and Reince Priebus says, you know, he said, Republicans, you know, united together, the impossible is possible. Divided, the possible is impossible. So we need to stay together, all of us Republicans in the room, and hopefully some independents that we might steer our way. One of my great colleagues on the county board, about 6 months into the, we used to go to lunch, we still go to lunch quite often, he came up to me and said, we love you Republicans. You're our best kept secret. You argue and argue and argue all the way through the primary. Democrats do the same thing. After the primary, we all get together and we vote for our nominee. You keep arguing all the way through the general election and you never win anything. And that's what we do. We've got to collectively stay together. So a lot of what I do is just try and keep, go around the state of Illinois and keep our Republicans together, because I think we have the right ideas, which I'll talk to you about. I'm going to shift gears a little bit and talk to you a little about the state of Illinois. Our state is broken. That's no surprise to hopefully most, if not all of you in this room. Last February, Gallup found that 74% of the people in Illinois have no confidence in their state government. 3 out of every 4 people in the state of Illinois have no confidence in their state government. Why? Because we have a history of budget deficits, $115 billion in pension liability, $8.5 billion in unpaid bills. Job growth is non-existent in the state. Do you know that Cook County lost 11,000 people last year, more than any other county in the United States? And in the last decade, Illinois has lost 1 million people. That's why we lost 1 congressional seat in the last remap. We're losing people. And yet, it's funny, 2/3 of our legislators in this election this fall have no opposition. 2/3 of our legislators have no opposition in November. Why? Gerrymandering of our Illinois House and Senate districts. The best recent example of the urgent need for reform in Illinois is ruling by the Illinois Supreme Court on the Independent Maps Amendment that was citizen-driven, wildly popular, had bipartisan support. Over 500,000 people signed the Independent Maps petition, and yet Mike Madigan's lawyers swooped in, argued their case, and they blocked it. Madigan won. The people of Illinois lost. And don't you think, it was a surprise at our Illinois State Fair, Republican Day of the State Fair, we had these buttons and it had a picture of Mike Madigan on them 45 years ago. Because Mike Madigan's been in Springfield for 45 years. 45 years. Is it time at some point to step down? You know, he's been there for 45 years. Can we say term limits in this room? So Mike Madigan draws a map, protects his incumbents, backs them with tons of cash, and then in turn, what do? They vote his way. Now, I've got no problem with that if it benefited the people of Illinois. If we had balanced budgets, if we had no pension deficit, if our bills were paid, if our social service safety net was provided for, if people were moving into the state, if there were more jobs in Illinois, that'd all be great. But it's not. The state is in awful condition. We have fewer jobs, higher taxes, antiquated schools, more crime, and no reform. The only industry growing in Illinois is U-Hauls. Is that the legacy that Mike Madigan wants to leave this state? I hope not. I hope not. I was hoping that he and the governor would be able to work together, blame one another for things that were unpopular with their side of the aisle and work together towards something. But it hasn't happened because he's unwilling to move. So I'll tell you a little bit about our governor. It was February of 2013. I heard that there was this guy running for governor of Illinois, or considering running at the time. He hadn't even put his foot in the ring yet. And I asked if I could meet him. And I met him. We talked for a couple hours. And he said everything I wanted to hear somebody say that wanted to change and turn Illinois around. So I said I was all in. And we did some pretty neat things in Cook County in the fall of 2013 in a 4-person race. We were able to get an endorsement by the Cook County Republican Organization in a 4-way race. You needed 60% of the vote for one candidate. He said it couldn't be done, but we did it. And he won the primary. And he went on to win the general election. I'll tell you, this is a guy that can't be bought, he can't be bribed, and he cannot be intimidated. He's the hardest working person I've ever seen. I tell most people, and maybe you've heard the story from me before, that you know, he called me up one night and he asked me if I'd want to go on a bus tour with him. And I said, sure. It was his first bus tour into southern Illinois. And I said, sure, when are we going? He said, well, tomorrow morning. And I said, okay, I'll clear my schedule. What time do we have to leave? He said, well, we've got to be down in Mount Vernon at 7 o'clock. So that meant we had to leave at 3 o'clock in the morning. So we got on the bus at 3 o'clock in the morning, drove down to Mount Vernon, did a waffle stop in Mount Vernon. Then we went to Nashville, Oakville, DuQuoin, Percy, Sparta, Chester, Waterloo, and Bloomington, all in our first day. We went all day long without eating, got to the hotel at 10 o'clock at night, said, what time do we get up in the morning, to his staff? I think it was Nick, and it'd be 6:30 or 7. And we did it again the next day. We hit 29 cities in 3 days, and he gave 36 speeches. And in between that time, he was giving radio interviews and calling his friends for money for the election. This is the kind of guy that will work unendingly to turn Illinois around, because I've seen how hard he worked to get elected for the people of Illinois. This guy will work as hard as he can. And the Democrats in Springfield, Mike Madigan, John Cullerton, the Democrats, they don't get this guy, because it's not about power. It's about the people. They don't understand anybody like him. That's an anomaly. All he cares about is people. He can move anywhere he wants. He can move anywhere in the country or the world, for that matter, that he wanted to. But he's chosen to put his foot down and lay his roots right here and try to build a better Illinois. So I hear often enough that our governor is destroying our state. He's eliminating our social service safety net. And it drives me crazy. You're going to blame a guy that's been in office for not even 2 years for the dire condition of the state for the last 3 decades? That's not a Bruce Rauner's making. It's Bruce Rauner that's trying to fix it and get it right and turn our state around. And the only way to do this is pro-growth and pro-business policies. It's the only way we can turn the state around. You can't raise taxes enough to turn this state around. Look what we've done by raising taxes over the last decade. We're losing population every year because people have choices. Taxes get too high? Hey, I'm going to go somewhere else. You know, and when those people leave, when those 11,000 people left Cook County, and when those million people left the state of Illinois in the last decade, who ends up paying their share of the taxes? Everybody that's left. And when some of us decide to leave, then the rest of us are going to be paying. And pretty soon there's going to be one table here instead of a room this big. And those people are going to say, I can't afford it anymore. And there won't be anything left to provide for our social service safety net. So don't try to ever tell me that taxes are the reason, that the only way we can solve our problems. We need to solve our problems through pro-growth, pro-business solutions that bring jobs and businesses back into Illinois. Now, we're going to try and win some House and Senate seats here in November, and I think we're going to be successful. You know, the Illinois Republican Party has never been as strong as it is today. Now, I went at my first state chairman's fly-in to Raleigh, North Carolina, and I flew into Raleigh, and all these state chairmen from all the states are there, and I'm this new young guy in the room. Well, I'm not so young, but I was the youngest state chairman in the room, and they said, listen, there's one thing we have to tell you before you learn anything else. Take credit for everything you get right in your state, because you're going to get blamed for everything that goes wrong. So I'll take credit for it, but the credit really goes to our great governor and to great people like John Fogarty, our counsel, Nick Klitzing, our executive director, and our great Republican National Committeeman Richard Porter right over there. These people are the great people that back me up and make me look good every day. But this year, we've got the data, we've got the digital, we've got the resources, we've got the ground game, we got everything going that we had in 2014 when the governor won, and we've got more than that. But generally, there'll be a tracker in one of these rooms, and the next thing I tell you about how many people we have out on the streets and how many doors we've knocked and how many phone calls we've made, it'll show up on Capitol Facts in about an hour, so I'm not going to give in to that and tell you what we're doing, totally. But we're not going to stop until we've achieved complete reform here in Illinois. That means more jobs, higher wages, and a larger tax base to fully fund our schools. We need to build our infrastructure back, our roads and bridges. And with our pro-growth, pro-business policies, we can't do that. We can do that. We can't do it with higher taxes. We need workers' comp reform, tort reform, term limits, and redistricting reform. Now, I don't like to be political, and I don't think that's a political agenda. It's about what's right for ensuring the future of our generations to come here in Illinois. You know, you can't take much away from me, and you can't take much away from a lot of the people in this room, but we can take a lifetime away from our children and our grandchildren, and we can't do that. My son, my 24-year-old son, moved to Austin, Texas last year. He said, "Dad, I can't stay in Illinois anymore. The taxes are too high." And he's a smart kid. He said, "Dad, can you imagine when they come up with these pension fixes in Illinois? The pension, if I live in the city of Chicago, which is where I want to live, we're going to have a state pension fix, we're going to have a county pension fix, we're going to have a Chicago employee pension fix, we're going to have a Chicago police, fire, Chicago teachers union pension fix. That's going to double or triple my taxes all by itself. Before you hire another teacher, before you fix a road, before you put a firefighter in a firehouse, it's going to bankrupt the state. What is this state going to do? I can't be here and watch it happen because it's going to just bankrupt everybody. We need to find common sense solutions to these problems, and I think the Republican solutions are the ones that are going to get it done. Now, we know we've got an uphill battle. It's going to be an uphill battle. We've got a presidential year. Presidential years are tough for Republicans. More Democrats come out in presidential years. And the gerrymandering of our districts that's been done in our House and Senate seats has been masterful. Mike Madigan has done a great job. I got to tell you, he's done a wonderful job. But with our staff and the ground game we've got and the resources we've got, we're going to win House and Senate seats in November. I'm not going to tell you how many, but I got a number in my mind, and I think we're going to do okay. And then I think maybe somebody will stand up and take notice. And then we're also going to win, hopefully, for our great comptroller, Leslie Munger. Leslie's a great, great lady, and she's doing a marvelous job. You know, a lot of legislators in Springfield are on pins and needles because they're not getting paid. You know, they're not getting paid any faster than the people that are providing services to our most needy people. They're not getting paid any faster than our vendors, and it's making a lot of people that live off that check, you know, pretty nervous right now. But that's the right thing to do. And Leslie's doing the right thing. She's run an $800 million business with Helene Curtis. She knows she comes from the business side, private sector, and she's doing a great job, and I think she should be elected comptroller. So the Republican Party is a party of Eisenhower, who built the interstate highway system. It's a party of Everett Dirksen, who ensured passage of the Civil Rights Act. And Ronald Reagan, who cut taxes and reduced red tape to lay the groundwork for one of the largest peacetime economic expansions in our history. And today in Illinois, the Republican Party is the party of the people. With growth and jobs and not taxes, we'll all be better off and be able to provide those desperate resources that our social service safety net provides for the most needy. We'll have a government that's run by, of, and for its citizens and taxpayers. Together, I think we can get it done. We have to not support the status quo in business as usual. Let's take a chance, turn direction, and vote Republican in November. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you very much, Tim. Have I got any questions coming up here?
No questions.
couple are coming up. All right, let's get them all. Thank you. All right.
Why don't you go through these and make sure they're all good first?
No. All right, here we go. Jonathan Edelman, a member of the City Club, asks, oh, He's a Republican candidate for the Illinois House of Representatives, District Number 15. Here is the question. What can we do to limit severely the number of nominating signatures required to get on the ballot and to require that those signatures be collected by the candidate?
That's a good question. To my knowledge, we have not found it that onerous to go out and get the signatures necessary to run for the House and the Senate. I actually don't see a problem with friends, neighbors, associates, people that believe in you going out and getting signatures to support you. I appreciate it a great deal when my friends and neighbors come out and get signatures for me when I run for a re-election or when I ran for election. So I haven't found it to be a real problem for people who truly want to get elected and work hard at it. And I don't think in House seats it's 1,000 vote or with 500 signatures, and in the Senate it's 1,000 signatures. And doesn't seem too onerous to me, and in most cases our candidates get 2, 3, and 4 times that many signatures.
Okay. Mark Weiermuller, City Club member and Donald Trump supporter, asks, did Trump win the debate last night? And with Trump visiting Bolingbrook tomorrow, does that mean that Illinois is in play?
I think hopefully a lot of you watched the debate last night. I watched it very intently. I thought it was, to me, honestly, the truth is I thought it was really kind of a draw last night. I don't think anything that happened last night in the debate changed anybody's mind. If you were going to vote for Hillary before the debate, you're going to vote for her after the debate. Donald Trump the same way. I would have liked to seen him, instead of spend most of his time rebutting the answers that Hillary Clinton gave, was come up, just answer the question that was given and give his own remarks on that as opposed to reacting. I think he'll learn from that in the next debate. I think he'll also want to bring up some of the things that we would like to see him brought up last night, which would have been Benghazi, the emails, and some of the other things that he tried to bring up but didn't. With Donald Trump coming to Bolingbrook tomorrow, well, I'm a state party chairman. I love it when a presidential nominee comes to the state of Illinois. It's going to be remarkable. I've heard that there's going to be a great turnout. They've raised a tremendous, tremendous amount of money for the candidate, and I just think it's terrific anytime we get a presidential nominee in town. Is Illinois in play? I don't think anybody knows. Now, they've written off Illinois. You know, all the pundits and everything have said that Illinois is, you know, going to be blue. But I'll tell you, this is a different election. You go down to southern Illinois, and they're Trump, 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 Trump. You know, they're really, really rooting for this guy. He's got a great running mate in Mike Pence. I heard Mike Pence on CBS this morning. Just a terrific, terrific guy. So I think there are many, many states that they've never been in play before. They're in play this time, and who knows? You know, something could be remarkable could happen here in Illinois.
Dr. Kimball Ladian, if you could do something to help reduce crime figures by 2020 on a bipartisan basis, is that of interest to the Illinois Republican Party?
It's not only of interest to the Republican Party, I believe it's critical to the Republican Party. And I think the best way you reduce crime in our neighborhoods is to provide jobs. You know, how do you bring a kid out of poverty? You know, how do you get take anybody out of poverty? You give them a job. You know, our jobs, our economy is falling apart in most of these neighborhoods. So if you follow what our governor wants to do with his turnaround agenda, is bring jobs and bring businesses back to the state of Illinois. That's what we need. You know, there's jobs deserts out there. We're trying to create an infrastructure right now at the county where we want to take people from the south side by train all the way up to areas you know, in the north and west suburbs to find them a job. Well, let's try and find them a job right where they live. Let's build some factories. Let's build some infrastructure down there. Well, the infrastructure's there, but let's try and fill those boxes that have been empty for a decade and put people back to work. And then I think you'll see the crime rate go down substantially.
And Dr. Ladian is a member of the City Club, as is Charles Gardner of Roosevelt University, who asks, how can you say the Illinois Party has never been stronger? Don't you recall the era of Governor Thompson and Governor Edgar when Pate Phillip was Senate president and Lee Daniels was Speaker of the Illinois House?
Well, that's somewhat. I was around during those times, but I wasn't involved in politics during those times. I think there were things that the Republican Party did in those times that, frankly, I'm not that proud of. You know, some of the things that they did that I think we've turned around, and I think this governor and has begun to run the government for all the people of the state of Illinois and build a stronger Illinois for all the people. I think under Jim Thompson and Jim Edgar, but I point out it bothers the heck out of me that we had those pension holidays back in those days. I mean, what was that all about? You know, let's put it off. We'll balance the budget by not paying into our pensions and things like that. I'm aghast at that. You know, in the county, one thing I'm really proud of in Cook County, we have never missed a pension payment in the history of Cook County, ever. We're only 58% funded, but we've never missed, missed a payment. Now, we're in some of the bind that we're in this state. It's just not a Democratic problem. Republicans were just as responsible for a long time. But I'm telling you, we're on a march to do the right thing. We are doing the right thing, and we will reform the state with the right principles. Thank you.
Maureen Kelly, member of the City Club from Governor State University, says, can you comment on the governor's lack of funding for higher education and its impact on growing the tax base and workforce readiness?
Well, I can't speak to legislative things and what's going on in negotiating budgets and that, but I get talk about that a lot, especially I was just speaking down in Charleston last week. And, of course, Charleston, where Eastern Illinois University is, and that's the number one thing they want to know is why is the governor not supporting higher education? Governor wants to support education more than anything. That's his number one priority. If you've heard it once, you heard it a thousand times. We've just got to get a budget. You know, we've got to get a budget. We've got to solve our problems. The governor's been willing to accept revenue in the stream. But we've also got to look at some pro-business, pro-growth reforms. Until we get that, we're not going to have a budget. We're not going to have anything that's going to provide the needs to our schools and to our social service safety net. And many of these, I had a guy come to me last month. He thought I could help him with $9 million. He owns assisted living centers. He thought as being the state chairman, I might be able to help in some way. I felt sorry for the guy. I couldn't do him any good and couldn't help him. $9 million. He's owed by the state. He had a letter said that they owed him the money, but there's no money there to pay him. You know, we're in a pickle all over the place. And until people get together and they talk, and the only solution that it seems like we're going to have is a political solution to that, and that's why we're working so hard to win House and Senate seats, because a legislative solution went out the window on May 31st.
Getting down to the last couple of questions here, Abdram Othman, a member of the City Club, whose affiliation he lists as Mark Kirk for U.S. Senate, asks the following question. After Governor Bruce Rauner went into office, it seems that Illinois Republicans have changed and picked up ground in the Chicago area. As chairman of the statewide party, what have you noticed that has changed for the better or for the worse for Republicans in Illinois since the election of Rauner?
I don't think I've seen as much as I would like to have seen. I think, and it's partly my responsibility, I think I've done a really poor job as a state chairman in doing minority outreach. I think it's something that we really, really need to invest time into as Republicans. I think our minority communities believe in a better schools. They believe in jobs. They believe in all the things that we believe in, all the folks in this room. And we've done a really not so good job of going out into those neighborhoods. Now, the Republican National Committee has worked really hard in the battleground states in creating this Republican Leadership Initiative, where they've got 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people in urban areas. Now, we've got the RLI on a couple college campuses here in Illinois, but we need to do a better job in getting our message out to minority communities to answer the question. I don't think much has changed, other than I think there's a growing awareness of how critical the need is for change in the state of Illinois and reform and moving in a different direction and eliminating the status quo.
Finally, from Ellen Byrne, who says, no, she is not a member, and we're going to get back to that. Affiliation listed Act 3, I don't know what that is. Question, what reforms in health policy does the Illinois Republican Party support?
That's a policy question. I don't get into policy questions too much. I can answer any question about Cook County policy questions on health related. But I sure know if you're talking about the Affordable Care Act, now this is just coming from Tim Schneider, okay? I really like that you know, we take care of people with pre-existing conditions. Your children can stay on your health care plan until you're in your mid-20s and things like that. I think those are remarkable things. You can buy insurance across county state lines, things that I think the reason we're stuck with the Affordable Care Act today is because Republicans failed to act decades before this. I think if we'd come up with some type of comprehensive health care reform years ago, we wouldn't be stuck with the Affordable Care Act today. And so I do think there are good parts of the Affordable Care Act, but I will tell you that I think it's devastating to some people who are, you know, they can't find the doctor. They go to the doctor they want to go to. What was said that premiums would be stabilized because people would start using their primary care doctors instead of showing up at the emergency room. It's not happening. It's not happening in Cook County Hospital. We've got a several million-dollar initiative to try and drive them to their primary care doctors, but it's not happening right now, and our costs are ballooning like crazy.
On that happy note, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Tim and...
Thank you. Thank you.